special. It is our joy that we can share with you in this way. For many times, each of you have touched deeply in the dimensions of spirit, sometimes more consciously than others, but your deep desire, your longing to be of assistance to others, your sense of camaraderie with nature, with the animals, with all the things that exist around you. There is a connection, and that connection can be a way of coming home within when you start to sense that from within, everyone's not so different at all, that there are those commonalities of process in the ego mind and commonalities of deeper process resting in what might be called the soul mind or the deep self, that longs to allow you the privilege of a deep awakening, but patiently waits till the ego grows fond of the process of an awakening rather than feeling frightened. Sometimes when egos are really too much, so to speak, out of balance, as it were, love is frightening. The ego is very adapted to thinking small of itself. That's kind of its main focus. What can bring a sense of wonder and light and love? That's the hallmark of the deep mind space. What can be a chatterbox mind running amok, so to speak, constantly criticizing others and therefore criticizing self as well, because everybody is part of yourself, and constantly relating to some fear-based thought process. And anger is often the result of fear-based thought processes. So catch yourself. When you think small of yourself or others, there is no state of awareness in divinity where anyone is in competition with anyone else. And yet in the ego mind, it's a constant dilemma of who's dressed better, who's got the higher IQ, who is making more money, who is the most popular, on and on and on. Unfortunately, the process starts pretty young in your schooling, your educational process. But there is another level of education taking place. Inwardly, those young bodies you see surrounded by others playfully, perhaps, in an environment of youthful exuberance. There is also the vast reaches of the dimensions of spirit where teachers are working with those that are there in the body on a, you could call it subconscious level, but we would prefer to call it on a superconscious level to make a delineation between the ego mind run amok and caught up perhaps in other lifetimes where there was some unhappiness and glomming onto that. The ego mind loves the drama. If it can't get enough drama in the physical plane, it'll jump to other thoughts, other processes to get some more drama. So as we talk about this, we do not want you to think that your ego somehow is your enemy, quite the opposite. The ego is constantly berating itself for not understanding the deep wisdom. It is fearful. That's its basic operating status. And whenever there is a lack of fear, there is an exuberance of joy, that is the place where you can learn the most. For then you begin to sense everybody has their own internal struggles. And for that you can have compassion and forgiveness. And you can still witness on the outer level what attracts you in terms of energy, what you want to be involved with, what others are dealing with that serves them or sometimes doesn't. And it's not necessarily that you should judge, but you can sense your feelings about guilt and how sticky it is, feeling guilty about trying too hard, not trying hard enough, whatever the way the ego wants to manifest that sense of guilt. It's pretty tricky. It's very tricky. But we like the chatterbox mind, the monkey mind. We like the image of the coyote in the Western traditions from those different categories of shamanistic practices, the different ways that these things can be talked about. But just rest a moment. If something feels fearful to you, you can constantly get a sense that that's where the mind of the ego operates. And that may be important to deal with some problems in the physical world as specifically as you can to make things better. But it's also a sense that now it's time to rise above the ordinary drama and see what's behind it. What can I know? Is it somebody else's difficulties that are capturing your thoughts? What lies behind their outward lack of joy, often? What is there in their critical self that needs to be recognized as part of the vast illusion of separation the ego is based on? That's its foundation. As you begin to penetrate through the disguise of the ego, you're going to be constantly surprised by miracles of every status, small and great, which, by the way, don't judge ego's perceptions on the drama, trying to isolate the most important miracles. Life is a miracle. All of life is a miracle. So sense the energy of kindness that evolves through all the difficulties the ego may address itself to. The sense of calm, deep space of awareness, you might call trust. A sense of the timelessness, even while you are experiencing very much a journey in the world with a body, having this experience and that experience over time. Ultimately, that's a construct. It's a necessary experience to gain the different levels of awareness you want to have. But it is like all at once God is present all the time. So it's a worthy adventure to get to know self better. It's a worthy adventure for many reasons. One is that in your calmness, you help others to be also calm, not putting a finger on it so much as to say it's the natural state of awareness that should be available to everyone, if possible. It also is a way of sensing what's really going on in the world at large at present time. There is so much to get caught up in the drama externally, but think about what's going on with the soul's experience of life. There is a gladness. I don't think we even can find the words. There is a happiness that the soul's awareness pertains to the fact that mankind collectively is beginning to rock the cradle, so to speak, of an awareness of the birthing of a deep consciousness of love that touches everywhere and everyone. You're part of the whole, and everybody's part of that. Everybody's part of the vast ocean of love that they have so frequently thought was just a little drop and not much available. It's like there is an abundance of awareness that is the borderline place wherein the miraculous can easily take place. But what are miracles designed to do? They're designed to show you who you are. That's all. They're very simple. They transcend time and space. They transcend the ego's representative defense mechanism. They transcend feelings of separation and guilt. They wipe it clean. They wipe it away. And the majesty of divinity becomes clearly apparent in such a way that it can shake mountains within you of resistance. It can show you who you are, and with no blame, you begin to see, ah, everything has been rather perfect in all of my experiences, even though I didn't know it at the time. A place of thankfulness begins to emerge. So, leave room for the miraculous to touch you deeply, because that's who you are. That's what you most long for. And there will always be answers to problems in the physical plane as people begin to wake up. So that process of problem solving shifts gears. It doesn't take long to recognize that if somebody's in pain, they need help. And it might be emotional or physical or mental, psychological, spiritual help. All of it is useful. But the greatest help is to find out the nature of self as a gift from the divine that can be then flowing through you to others. Whether you're focusing on that or not, it does happen. It's an automatic response. That love begets love. Trust, honesty, insights begin to happen spontaneously with more and more people. The world is on the cusp of a new awakening. It may take several hundred years yet, but it is being birthed even in this time frame. It is taking place more and more. So there is much to be thankful for. Remember, people have talked about the second coming of Christ. It's an allegoric reference. It's a symbolic reference to the awakening of divinity within each person. If you were in a different culture, you might call it the second coming of Buddha. It doesn't. Maybe that rings a bell in your framework of psychological thoughts around spiritual stuff. But you are equipped. You are marvelously equipped to see deeper if you can allow that to happen. So ask for it. It's a natural response, not from the ego's perspective. It's always afraid of love. But recognizing love is the key. It's the doorway to a true sense of coming home within. You could call it salvation if you want to. It means saving the reality that already exists. It's not changing the great reality in which you experience yourself. It's changing your perception of that reality so you can see what is true. Always has been, always will be, but you can see it, feel it, know it, and begin to birth the Christ within you, the Buddha within you, the God Self that is awakening. While you're in the body, or you're out of the body, or any combination of times, past, present, and future, divinity, like a chalice of true energy, wants to express through each person defining themselves anew, defining themselves in new ways, seeing not through the limited perspective of a single lifetime or even many lifetimes, but seeing directly the way everyone who is fully awake sees you and sees others for who they are, you can share in that abundance of love.